Have you guys ever used the paper towel roll as a wrist, like a wrist stand when you're working on your computer?
No, I imagine it would puncture my wrist.
No, like an empty one. You know, just rest your wrist on it.
It would puncture your wrist. It's cardboard, Eric.
It's Game of Owns. We're scared of cardboard.
I'm thinking of
cardboard, guys.
I'm thinking of a different type
of
holder.
What kind of paper towel holder do you own?
A paper towel holder is metal and skinnier than
That's actually how Jamie Lannister really lost his hand. You know, the show kind of tried to dramatize a little bit, but
I would be careful there,
book,
Zach.
Well, I don't want to hurt myself, but it was laying on this table. I turned it, I rested my wrist upon it, and then we pressed record. So I thought I'd mention it to you guys. Since you're my friends, I thought I'd, you know, share you what I had discovered.
And here we just laugh at you. Like,
I know, I was serious about it.
By a lucky twist of fate, all of our wrists happened to push the recording button at the same time.
Wow. And we're here today to talk
about...
You
use your wrist to do that?
That's what I was thinking. I didn't want to comment, but...
Hey, each to their own, okay? Just let Eric do his thing. You know, you
just
can rest your
hand.
Think
of all the body parts we could use to press record.
Oh, gods.
Okay, that's... Yeah, next show.
These like are the things
like our
toes.
That's for our next live show.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about your tongue.
I let my spiders push
Sam
the record button
that.
For me.
That was a half-hearted attempt at a transition to talk about Varys.
Yeah, well done, guys.
No, actually, I was talking about Micah's car, actually.
Oh. Wait, do you have a spider? You have a car that's a spider?
He tweeted about this.
I have a spider in my car that just lives there. I mean, he or she has lived there for many, many years. And
years?
How many years do spiders live?
They live a long time, I feel like.
That's amazing.
I don't really know. Someone write into us about the lifespan of
arachnids. Spiders are lucky. You shouldn't kill them, people.
No, I don't kill spiders. I like spiders.
Me
so
too.
So because you've had this growing in your car for like years, is it like as big, like is it like take up the whole passenger seat like Shelob or something?
I thought you were going to say Aragog, but...
I should have gone with Aragog.
I don't think Shelob would fit in a passenger seat, though. Maybe because she's in a book, you could just sit the book there.
I think what it is that the car is parked by trees, and I think there are spiders that live in the trees, but then the spiders somehow make their way into the car, and you know they spin their webs around the front windshield, and you know I'm very much impressed. I think they're the hardest working beings.
That's what you said. I couldn't think if you were trying to be like blue collar ironic or anthropomorphic or what you were trying to do. But your tweet literally earlier in the week was about this spider. It was that you're pretty sure that nobody works harder than this spider in your vehicle. Yeah.
It's true. So, well, there's also the spiders that live in the bushes down the block when you're like walking to the train station in the morning. And if you're not careful, you get a spider web right in the face.
Oh,
it's pretty impressive what they can do in a very short period of time. It's very appropriate that we are talking about spiders. And,
it's very appropriate that actually, you know, the fact that Varys is called the spider, I never really gave it much thought until this very conversation. I was sitting here like nodding my head like, oh my God, that's just like Varys.
He does a lot of work.
A lot of work. Maybe in the background, you don't always
spinning
see him, but that's
his
kind of also
webs.
The point.
Yeah,
and he eats
exactly.
little bugs also.
You want to know something awesome, actually. In front of my place, there's an awning outside and a light that's supposed to fend off intruders. You know how there's a light? It's like, oh, there's people here. There's a light that's always on. It's great for the electric bill. But anyway, I was out there the other day just looking around, like thinking, I need to put bushes here. Nice, colorful bushes. That'd be great. And then I looked up at the awning and there was a spider web, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't think of Micah's spider in his car because I just learned about that. But I did think about the bird that was trapped in it, the full-size bird that was hanging in it dead.
Wow.
And sometimes spiders attack larger animals.
Oh my God.
So be scared of Varys, guys. Okay?
And his little birds.
Exactly. Thank you.
Now all I can think of is Varys attacking Big Bird. That's all I can think of. Going for a bird like twice his size or multiples of his size.
Like Mitt Romney.
I was about to say that. Yeah. It's like, let's not get the two confused. Anyway, we're having fun. It's Friday. Everyone knows that it's Friday because we said it about 7 times. So,
if
you're listening to this on a different day, we apologize.
Maybe you should
stop this episode and wait
and
until next
Friday
to listen to.
How about that?
Yeah. Why don't you have Friday because of this episode? May it fill you with enough joy to disregard work the next day and have fun.
Maybe it can be like that episode of Doug where he went and had that machine that created an extra day. Was it Fratterday?
It was Fun Day, wasn't it?
Fun Day. It was either Fun Day or Fratterday. I forget which one. Maybe one of them's a Dr. Seuss thing. But a lot of fun, you know, and they had an extra day to enjoy Game of Thrones.
And you know what? Yeah, that's all great and stuff. I just want to get back to talking about Varys and like well, how fabulous he is.
Because I don't want to talk about Varys as much as I want to talk about Tyrion.
Oh my God, we'll get to Tyrion. The point is like, come on, guys. I mean, you have to admit, whatever Tyrion was doing owning Janice Slynt, Varys is undoubtedly like the true star of this chapter. I mean,
absolutely.
I tweeted this out earlier. I was reading this part. It's like the best thing I've ever read in my life. Where Varys came gliding into the hall wearing flowing lavender robes that matched his smell. And I mean, yeah. How fabulous is this dude?
Fabulous.
He is fabulous.
And Varys.
He's a good guy.
He's amazing. I love these descriptions.
Now that we like him so much more, it's great because reading his chapters, you're just like punching the air by yourself when no one's looking.
Glide, Varys, glide.
Glide, keep gliding. But, you know, Tyrion did do a good job this chapter. He did. I mean, comparatively speaking.
It was like one long own this chapter.
Yeah, and your point makes complete sense because in this whole chapter, we're like, Tyrion's kicking all this ass. Look at this. And then Varys comes in and he's like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
You could have done it this way or this way. And, you know, he ended up doing his own round of owns. Nothing really, you know, taking offense against Tyrion, just kind of showing his own skill, which I thought was good. It definitely gave us something to chew on in the book.
Mm.
Don't recommend
their partnership. It's funny because this is one of the aspects where the show kind of does help to make some aspects of these very, very complicated, lengthy books clearer. You know, Varys is such a great example where you read him the first time, you have no idea what really to think about him. And then after seeing him in the show, I think because they've sort of had to clarify his character a little bit more, like you were saying, you know, we read this now, we like him a lot more than we did the first time around.
And I would have liked him the whole time if I would have read the books first.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's just the thing is, in the books, it's so much different because you're not in his head. You don't see it the same way. I really feel like after seeing the show, I have a new appreciation for him.
I agree. I think he's more peaceful in the show. And by peaceful, I mean, it's in the book, you only see him really being like threatening.
He's very powdered.
He is powdered. All that's mentioned is he's powdered.
He just smells. But... Yeah, exactly. In the books, he's like, he smells. And
I think it does take the series for me to be calm around Varys because he is such a threat that it just seems like so visible that when he's in the room, something terrible is going to happen. But I mean, at least for most of this chapter, he and Tyrion were seeing eye to eye and they kind of appreciated each other, especially when Varys was running down the to-do list of traitors or would be treasonites. And Tyrion is telling him how to handle them. I think they really enjoy each other's company. Of course, that's summed up by a quote that I believe we'll quote a little later on about what Tyrion says to Varys about liking him. You know, I think these two just make for a great chapter. And this is my favorite chapter so far in the second book.
It's a really good chapter.
I thought it was great when we finally got to see Tyrion acting like Hand of the King. Like when you were saying he was reading off the things and Tyrion was telling him what to do. That's such a wall I feel like never gets broken down in books.
Yeah.
Where you actually get to see the character like do his job, essentially, like one of your people. And he's just like, I mean, maybe that's the dumbest thing I've ever said, but in the show, we definitely didn't get to see Tyrion. Yeah, definitely. We didn't get to see Tyrion doing things like that, like officiating. Like, all right, well, here's what I'm about to do. But he was literally telling this guy, making all of these decisions because he's second in command. And even though their meeting place is a little shady, Varys is still on the court, so they're just getting business done after hours.
This is just always fascinating to me, is seeing these judgments that are being handed down to these guys for their various crimes. You know, some of them end up... He sent one of the guys to Joffrey for punishment. And then the other guys who were in jail trying to bribe their guardsmen, the guardsmen were sent off to the wall, and they were just left in jail. And they were like, well, we'll see if they can bribe somebody else.
From the wall.
yeah, it's definitely a very different... sort of approach depending on who it is and what he feels they meant by it. But Tyrion, of course, doesn't care about slanderous things said at the table when drunk.
Yeah.
And he will also defend anyone who turns sort of a blind eye on whores. And now this is something that surprised me about this chapter, is that it was twice referenced how Shay and his first wife, Tyrion's first wife, Tysha was revealed to be a whore to him. He's basically acting in their interest as human beings, because, you know, this is shown in what he does with Slint, and it's also shown a little later on. We have him at the end of the chapter having the revelation that he misses and wants Shay's company right now.
Yeah,
it's kind of like Danny and Slaves, isn't it?
It really is. It's a slightly maybe... but still, yeah, it's a group of people that
are... It's like the PG-13.
Right, yeah, I think you can definitely make that comparison.
But, and that's an interesting... Actually, yeah, that's a really good comparison, because I was just going to say, I mean, it's just... It's really refreshing, I think, in these books where there's so much corruption and so much selfishness. And, I mean, that's one of the reasons why characters like Danny and Tyrion, we get behind them, because we're like, finally, somebody is seeing the world the way that we want to see it, you know, the fair way. They're sticking up for the little guys and the repressed people, and we're like, yeah. And the way that Tyrion especially is reacting to the death of the baby, you know, Cersei's latest victim, you know, in her little vendetta there. And he's just reacting in a way that makes sense to us as readers, going, yeah, this is a terrible, terrible thing that's happening. Mm-hmm. So it's, you can sort of fist pump at his actions and his thoughts about it, which is refreshing, I think.
Yeah, we recommend on this podcast cheering out loud, where you don't just have a happy moment.
Oh, yeah.
Physically
enjoy
react
this.
To it.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Woo! I was doing that the other night.
Use
with my
all
friends.
Your senses.
I forget, like, something was coming on the TV or something good was happening. I forget. And I was hanging out with a bunch of friends. And like, the few people that did know me, and I, like, raised my fist up, they did it with me. And this girl was like, why are you guys doing that? And I'm like, because it was awesome. It was great. And it was good. And we should keep doing this. And that was a terrible story. But I recommend that we all enjoy these moments.
It's a good story. And these moments
like
are. Oh, yeah. Well, it's like just rooting for the home team. The home team
is
Tyrion.
In sports, it's bad. Like, I just tear off all my clothes and do cartwheels when something good happens. So.
Much like Tyrion learned to do cartwheels.
He did, and triple flips off of staircases to impress people. Yeah. It impressed me, and I'm
certainly
wondering when we're
going
to see these acrobatics again.
I know. It's like his introduction to the story in book one. Like, we never got to see that in the show.
I feel like he could be like Yoda with a little sword. Like, if he had needle, how many asses could he kick?
I know.
It's like all of the asses. Could
everybody want to see this trick? I just sliced all of your throats, and everyone in the throne room died. You know, like, that's the Tyrion that we got introduced to, at least.
I know. I mean, yeah. Peter Dinklage is great and all, but where are the cartwheels?
Yeah, or at least in the book, too, you know, not just in the show, but the book. Like, where is this athletic, you know? Like,
he did it in book one.
I know, but where is it
but
since
you're right,
then?
He's been holding back.
That's
what
I'm wondering.
He has been. He's too busy being this statesman or hand, or he has too much duty to really be able to have some fun and get out and exercise.
No. Tywin's horse is too much duty. Anyway.
Well, anyway, so
I do
so
have
having...
a question. Hold on a sec. Yeah, I have a question.
Okay. Speaking of duty.
Do you think there's something to be said for just following orders and not thinking about the consequences, not thinking about the implications, and just doing what's told of you? Because I feel like that's an overarching theme of this chapter, and at least in the conversation between Tyrion and Jon of Slint.
Well, I'm gonna answer your question with a question. Who do you think it was that killed Ned Stark? This is the question that Varys asks Tyrion at the end of it. Who was it? Was it Sir Ilyn Payne? Was it Janice Slint? Or was it Joffrey who gave the order?
Joffrey, completely.
Some could say Sansa.
Oh. Yeah,
no.
I'm going to go with Sansa, too. You're right.
Some could say Ned killed himself by being
look at that.
Idiot.
Yeah, well, that is
too honorable.
And Catelyn would say that is her own fault, so.
Yeah, so basically, though, somebody would say then, in answer to your question, Micah, that there is something to be said, like if he wouldn't have killed Ned, somebody else would have?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's what Tyrion is getting at. It's not so much... whether or not they carry out the order, it's with what level of enthusiasm they carry it out, or how they carry out the order, because that was, they made a point of saying, well, they carried it out without even hesitating. I mean, they did not even stop to think. This was just something that, yeah, we're killing Ned right now. Let's do this. And I think, and that's kind of like how Tyrion is seeing it too. And then he's got, on the other hand, he's got his own sellsword, Bronn, who we kind of like, who is exactly the same. He's like, yeah, I would kill him. You know, I'd ask how much.
I just ask how much.
Yeah, right. And he sort of has to reconcile that with the fact that he can't, you know, it's not the fact that they killed, that they did these things. It's that they have no remorse for it. They even enjoyed it.
And he did it for a piece of land. He did it for Harrenhal, which is shown. So Tyrion is able to just openly ridicule this man who's drinking with him It's just a great buildup. I mean, any kind of summary we do wouldn't necessarily give it as much justice. It's just really a good slow build because Tyrion has two objectives. The first is to reveal to this guy that he is unwanted and will be shipped off to the Wall. The second is to try and get an understanding of who it was that ordered the killing of this babe. And I mean, to your guys' points earlier, when you're talking about how much Varys came in and owned, Tyrion is able to figure out that Cersei did order the babe killed. And then when Varys comes in, he says, "You knew, didn't you?" And Varys is like, "Yep. It was terrible. It was pretty bad. I didn't
like
want
half
to
cries it. He's like, but then, oh, no,
it was
sister.
So terrible."
But then Varys turns around and he's like, "But I saved Gendry."
He did, and that was a nice little piece.
Maybe that's why we like him, Zach.
He doesn't say him by name. He just says this other boy made arrangements for him to go the other way. Why? Why? What happened?
I'll tell you why.
Huh.
Why?
Because he's Gendry. That's why.
Does he think Gendry has some kind of part to play? Why would you do that?
Well, I would save Robert's bastard if I had the power to do it, because that's the right thing to do.
I think he just likes having more pieces
arms
to play.
Arms guy, come on.
I think he just has more cards that he wants to play, and that's exactly why.
I mean, you're probably absolutely right, but I also think it's just, I mean, it is in terms of, from Varys' perspective, whatever Varys is aiming for, killing off all of the Baratheon bastards is not necessarily a smart move. I mean, if he can keep a few of them sort of on hold, you know, it's like assurances for the future. Who knows when you'll need a Baratheon bastard down the
line?
That's
true. And they're hard to get now. The demand is low.
Yeah. I think this line of succession, though, I need more clarification. I'm going to look this up in my own time because I wonder by what line of succession can bastards even rule? It just seems so rare. I mean, we have these, even in the previous chapter, we had the fourth brother of the fourth brother, you know, ascending to the throne, but not bastards. They're born out of wedlock. They
unless
almost
they're
have
legitimized.
No claim. Yeah, they're legitimized.
But, I mean, you're right. And the thing about Baratheon too, that sort of everyone's sort of questioning is the fact that, I mean, they're not a line of kings. Robert took the throne. And
Robert was the first.
Tommen and Joffrey and all of those people sort of being like, oh, well, because everyone thinks they're Baratheon, they are the successors and the rightful kings. But then you've got all these other people saying, you know what? Robert took the throne. Why can't we do it?
Yeah.
But
if they can do it, why not us?
Wouldn't Gendry have more of a claim than Joffrey or Tommen or Myrcella? Since
if for the people that believe, right, for the people that believe in the Baratheon succession, if it was like widely known that Joffrey wasn't Baratheon child, then I guess you're right. Then Gendry could come in and have a claim saying, "Hey, I'm Robert's son." And then, you know, you'd still have Renly and Stannis going, "Yeah, but we're his brothers and we're like legit Baratheons." But yeah, you're
legit,
right.
Yo. Eric, you asked the question earlier when you answered my question.
Your
with
question,
a question
with a question.
And it did tie in. It did tie in. But I would say that, you know, looking at all of this and seeing how Tyrion really, well, first of all, I think one of the reasons why he gets rid of Jon of Slint is because he doesn't want anybody who could remotely be in his sister's pocket to be looking out for his security and for the security of the entire city.
Right.
And much less have somebody replace Jon of Slint who Jon of Slint approves of, because it would most likely be somebody who Cersei approves of. So, you know, he's cleaning up and he's getting everything in order. But going to Ned's death just for a second, I would argue that anybody who didn't step up, that knew the truth, played a part in his death, who actually murdered him, Illyn Payne murdered him. I mean, he cut off his head. So I would put that at his feet. But as far as who killed him, I think anybody who was standing up there who didn't know what was about to happen and knew the truth of it and Joffrey's lineage, and I'd say all of them are responsible for his death, including Ned himself.
It comes down to mob psychology, though. I mean, if you really, really think about it, I believe the lesson George is trying to tell here is that there are lines of honor and there are lines of duty, and there's a way where someone who is underneath a leader has to listen to what the leader says and follow out orders. So in this case, Joffrey gives an order and they follow it out without question. It's boom, they did it, it's over with. There was no time to really think about the repercussions. And in that moment, Joffrey made a snap decision to go, well, there's people here and it's the weak decision of a woman to give you know, sympathy to someone like this, so let's kill him. I think that's the lesson, is that there's so much of a conversation. There's such a deep conversation in this chapter about really who holds the power. Varys brings up that riddle again. And in this specific case, I think it proves the point of whoever can tell people what to do and whatever their decision is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I love how he capped it off by just saying, okay, so all three of us were without power. That day, when the order had been given to kill Ned, all of us were shocked and couldn't control what happened. And it just really resonates. They've said this, they say this all the time, you know, sort of in confidence with each other, that Ned's death wasn't supposed to happen. And this is just one more layer of that. Just like we got Rob in the previous chapter saying, well, gee, it would be nice if Dad were still alive, because then we could trade Jaime for him. It's just like that, you know, these unfortunate events. Ned, nobody's quite over the fact that Ned was killed.
I'm not.
I know. And they, you know, they'll never will be. That's the brilliance of the story. They'll still be talking about this in however many books.
Just, I think, what Tyrion did in this chapter by asking Jonas Slint, one professional to another, asking him for his recommendation of dudes. And he gives him back a list of six dudes. And they all get shipped away. In fact, Tyrion instructs one of them to be tossed over the side. It would be unfortunate if, and I'm going by the audiobook, gives him this kind of an accent. It would be unfortunate if one of them happened to fall into the water.
No, don't you mean, it would be unfortunate if...
Wow, I laughed at who. I would appreciate that laugh. We're removed.
No, that's gotta stay.
Selena, I bow to you. I bow
to
you.
Thanks. I should do the audiobooks, right? Couldn't possibly.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. I think we got someone asked us in an email, or was it a tweet? Someone asked us recently. They're like, hey, when are you going to do audiobook readings?
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, oh, shit.
When we want to get sued.
When we get paid. When we get paid to do them.
Yeah.
That's right, guys. When we get paid. We ain't doing shit for no money.
We need Sam on there. Come on.
Sam, you need more scenes in the next season, man. You know, you gotta pay that mortgage.
Get on it, George.
That was my own, I think. The fact that Tyrion called Slint to the tower under false pretenses. It essentially winds up shipping him and all of his closest men away.
Yes.
Without supper.
Yeah.
Well
that's
done.
A solid
that was
own.
That was epic own.
Eric, you made a rule for yourself, a self-imposed rule that you proposed that we would all follow, where we did not give the own to the prospective chapter person.
Oh, gosh.
What?
Breaking
yeah, you weren't here for
rules.
I know.
That's
what we said.
It doesn't count for me. I wasn't here.
Well, it doesn't count for you. You're fine. And it doesn't count for the rest of us either, because
it's just me.
We turned it down, but you proposed it. You have to pick a different own.
Okay, I'm picking.
I'm just
going
to take your own.
You guys go first. Okay. Oath oh, you're
breaker.
Taking my own. Oh, all
I'm
right.
taking your own. It's because right. I didn't.
Well, I actually followed Eric's rule without knowing.
Well, that's handy.
I have an own from Varys. My new favorite character over here, who's amazing. After he finished his gliding and his flowing of lavender, he said, "The storms come and go, the waves crash overhead, the big fish eat the little fish, and I keep on paddling."
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that line was actually in the show, but I could so hear Conleth Hill's voice saying that. He was talking about ladders in the chapter,
was.
Too.
I think it was in the show.
I feel like it was.
I still keep on paddling.
I saw him with hair for the first time.
Oh, what was it? Which film?
The one you mentioned.
The salmon one.
Yeah.
So weird.
Game of Thrones Movie Club.
Why are you wearing a wig?
I know. It looked like fake hair. I mean, it's just, maybe it was. I don't know. But it just, I couldn't tell it was him for the first like 20 minutes.
Right, I'll give my own since Eric is still looking for his.
Yes.
Go on. I mean, I have mine, but go on.
He's like, my own is Eric is still looking for his
let's
own.
Let's pretend that. Yeah. Let's pretend that rich. This is taking me a while. Go on.
Tyrion, which I'm allowed to choose.
Yeah,
Eric is
you're okay.
Not, says to Jonas Slint, "When you see Lord Commander Mormont, give him my fond regards and tell him that I have not forgotten the needs of the Night's Watch. I wish you long life and good service, my lord."
Excellent
kind
own,
of
my friend.
In you know, when thinking about it, it's kind of douchey of Tyrion to just put his problem on old Bear. You know, he's like, "Yeah, I have these horrible guys. You go on, you have him."
Yeah, but I think it just keep that nugget in the back of your mind that Jonas Slint is headed to the wall.
Oh, it'll stay there, sir. It will remain.
Never forget.
I'm not going to
so
steal your own,
Eric. So is my friend John.
And I'm not going to steal Sam's own either, which he hasn't given yet. I think this own will reverberate in my mind.
I get an Owen?
You do. For at least the next 35 minutes. And my Owen have to go to Varys for, in the midst of conversationing, reminding Tyrion that, yes, in fact, he was a eunuch. He's used to talking to Littlefinger so much, you know? And he was just like, oh, don't forget, I am a eunuch. And he's like, aha, I wouldn't remember that. And I totally did not forget. You are a eunuch. I remembered it the whole time. So to Varys for, you know.
I feel like we need to start having a drink whenever someone says that Varys is a eunuch.
Yeah, even himself, you know? Yeah. He just wanted to make sure. He's like, it wasn't brought up yet, and I wanted to make sure you remembered.
Yeah, so. Not me. I'm not partaking in that drink. I'm one episode sober now. Just FYI.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
So no more drinks for me. But if I were to drink and raise a glass as part of my drinking, as a prelude, I would be raising my glass to my own for the week, the Red Comet, which we've talked about before. But this
was
thing,
that even chapter?
No, this thing is going through the sky, inspiring religions. Now there are priests, these would-be people, self-proclaimed priests of all these new religions as a result of this Red Comet, and it actually sparks Varys' attention. That's how
Eric Skull's own is the Red Comet, everybody.
I just spoke the paper towel roll.
Oh, that was awesome. I like that. Yeah, it's like you're a sports
always
announcer.
Speak through that.
An over-announcer.
The evening news with Zach Louie.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I call you all here today to remind you that Eric Skull's own was about the comet, and that Varys is a eunuch.
We have an announcer on our podcast. I feel like this is a fault of ours.
Yeah, we need to work on
Can
this.
Can you say, flight attendants, please prepare the cabin for takeoff?
Yeah, one moment, please.
This is your captain speaking. We're going to be leaving here in about 15 minutes, depending on if the runway's clear out or not. Flight attendants, please prepare the captain for takeoff.
Oh my god.
That was awesome.
That was amazing. I was like, is Zach still here or what's happening?
Yeah, well, my friends are very nice to me. They're very kind.
Kind of makes me want to play some Scrabble now that you mentioned there's only 15 minutes before we take off.
Airplane mode still counts. You got to shut it off all the way, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Unless you're Alec Baldwin, of course. On the vein of pop culture, and also on the veins of Owen. Sam, please.
First off, thank you, Zach, for letting me read an Owen. It's from Varys.
Yes.
Power resides where men believe it resides. No more and no less.
Devils in the shadow. Sorry.
That's all right. Selena can interrupt me, but Eric can't.
Is Eric still here, or does he turn his
phone
off?
He hides when I come on the show.
I'm hiding in
like,
a corner.
Shit, it's Sam.
One of these days, you two are going to have a knife fight.
How about this? I'll stab him with dragon glass he thought I forgot about.
Sam the Eric Slayer.
I'll just wait for you to drop the dagger and not pick it up.
And then I'll pull the other 50 out of my fucking cloak and, and stab you
in the
eye.
That's the sound of dying.
Fight.
I don't even know anymore. But Varys talks about shadows and says, yet shadows can kill. And oftentimes
a
very
small
man can cast a very large shadow.
That's right.
Yet shadows can kill. Renly.
Oh, that's true. I love the thing about a small person casting a big shadow. I always really love that line.
Yeah.
And it always, those kinds of lines, I was singing it earlier. It always makes me think of the trailer.
Well, we never need to worry about Sam casting a small shadow.
Well, there we have it, folks. Those are our owns. we do progress slowly but surely into the part where we read your owns. They're sent to us via lots of different ways. Sometimes one day someone is going to send one to us in the mail, and it will never make it on the show because that would have been an old episode.
If someone sends it to us in the mail, I think we ought to read it aloud, guys.
Send some gift cards as well, because we all like going to the movie theaters.
Yes.
And our first own from our listeners comes from Mr. Dylan Manwoody. That's a weird last name, by the way. I'll just leave it at that.
It is in the books.
It is in the books. George, you're a sick, sick man. But Dylan,
he said
I'm going to go for the obvious own and give it to Varys for the line, much like myself. Power resides where men believe it resides. No more, no less. It's really a series-defining quote. And is applicable to real life as well.
It is indeed.
It is indeed.
I feel enlightened.
It sounded almost even more sweeter coming from Dylan Manwoody's email. Would you guys agree?
I would.
Very nice own. I do have an own here that was sent to our wall on Facebook privately.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
from a Mr. Ryan Shepherd. My Tyrion chapter 2 own goes to Tyrion and Varys' bromance. Actually, the own goes to this quote. Lord Varys, I am growing strangely fond of you. I may kill you yet, but I think I'd feel sad about it. So Tyrion's a Death Eater now. Yeah. But it's true. Much. No, that's when they like, don't you think that's when they just finally admitted their feelings and just tied the knot and being friends?
Yeah, they're friends. Yeah.
They're like, I'll kill you. Well, I'll kill you. Well, I'll feel bad about it, but I'll
do it.
I
would feel bad if you died because of me.
Not so bad as to prevent that. And we heard from email, Dylan Manwoody. We heard from our Facebook wall. Now it is time to visit our Twitter feed.
Tweets.
Where Elise Johns submitted, Tyrion owned Aller Deem with the suggestion of throwing him overboard on the way to Eastwatch.
By that is sea. Painful. Even the white ones.
Yeah.
Especially the white ones.
Well, white birds can be found everywhere. I recently saw some presents that they left us on our Facebook wall.
Oh, no.
The address
again.
For that is
it's not my
Facebook.
Turn to clean it up.
Yes. Facebook.com/Game of Owns. Not my problem. Also, you can find us on Twitter, which I do patrol, actually, the Twitter wall. And that is at twitter.com/Game of Owns. And if you would like to send us an email, you can do that at contact@GameofOwns.com.
Yay! Yep.
Yay, that's our website. Yay! Yay!
It's a Yay! Nice website. Yay!
My fists are in the air. Both of them now.
Good,
one
mine
was before.
Too.
I lied at first, but now they're both up.
And of course, you can head on over to iTunes to leave us a nice rate and review here in the month of July. The month is just beginning, so we appreciate you heading on over there and giving us a little bit of your feedback. What you think about the show. How much you hate Eric. How much you love me. That's always good.
Yes, please comment on that. Only under the guise of 5 stars, though.
Only.
Yeah, yes. It's got to be 5 stars. None of that other bullshit.
And
you don't
want to
see me get mad.
Uh-oh, yeah, what happens then?
He becomes the Slayer.
You're damn right.
we even take owns that are sent with 5 stars. They're better owns. They're automatically awesome owns. Automatically 2 fists in the air if they're sent along with 5 stars. Because we collect the stars, and it's our currency. It's what allows the show to exist. I actually don't consume food. I only consume iTunes ratings.
iTunes owns? So it's like osmosis?
It's sustenance.
Exactly. Right through my body. And I don't like to look at those much either because it's scary to read reviews on stuff. But luckily, you guys are so kind and things. And Sam sometimes visits the show and reads them off for us. And sometimes, occasionally, Micah even comes back to threaten us.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he stepped away, but he left a little piece of paper here for me. So thankfully, I can read.
Who taught
wizard,
you to
baby.
Read? Did Shireen teach you to read?
Who the hell is Shireen? If you do not rate us 5 stars, you will be tasked with rubbing lilac perfumed body lotion all over Varys's naughty
Uh-oh.
Places.
Not the body butter.
What's left of them?
Oh, well, you heard it here, folks. You
Somebody's
should rate and review 5 stars or get caught in the spider's web. It's dangerous.
It's a smooth lavender-scented web, but somebody's got to do it.
Remember the bird outside of my place, guys? Don't let that be you. Rate us 5 stars.
And watch the mole. He's got a nasty mole.
And watch the mole starring Anderson Cooper in the first season until he got too popular. Great show.
Nice reference. Very retro.
It's the weekend, everybody. It's time for you to turn off your radio players
Ding,
and go outside.
Dong.
Play in the sand. Visit Hypable, where Selena lives and forgot to plug for the last few episodes, but
True.
Hypable is a website where she writes things and also podcasts.
It's
a lot.
HYPABLE.com.
See,
it is.
Can read.
It's true.
Can read.
You can spell.
That too.
And spell.
And we would love for you
I
to remain
smack
our friends.
You upside your head too, Eric.
Please continue loving us as the world turns and becomes older.
How would
this
you
is
like
Game
some
of
dragon glass in your testicles?
I'm Zach Louie.
I'm Selena Wilkin.
Now I'm a little upset that I don't have a voice of my own. Eric Skull.
I know. We need voices, Eric.
I'm going to keep this paper towel roll forever.
And I'm Sam.
Hopefully Micah one day returns.
I know. Hopefully he's okay.
He probably got caught.
I think Sam's sitting on him.
No, it's the spider in his car. I finally got to him.
Oh, yeah. That's what you get when
you
like spiders.
For all that generosity. Arr, arr, arr.
Yes.
Hey, you Eric.
Know. Love yes. that leftover soda pop.
What, Sam?
Hey, Eric. Guess what?
What?
I got some dragon glass here for you.